following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News and is brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back into Lambeau Field. The long wait is over. I don't know, Tom, playoff bye weeks seem a little longer and more drawn out than the mid-season bye week, but here we are, the Seattle Seahawks coming to Lambeau Field Sunday evening to take on the Packers in the NFC Divisional Round. And, yeah, here we are. Last time we talked, we didn't know who they'd be playing, and it's Russell Wilson and his banged-up group.
Yeah, well, that was the interesting part about the bye week, was you get to sort of follow the other teams and watch the games on over the weekend to see who the Packers were going to be playing. And then when Minnesota upset New Orleans, then, all of a sudden then you're like, okay, well, now you got to watch that Philadelphia-Seattle game. I actually wasn't even planning on watching it. And sure enough, anything can happen, and it did. So Packers are playing the Seahawks at home. I think we talked about it. I think it's probably the best draw they could have gotten.
I think so.
I just think the shape the Seahawks are in, injury-riddled, coming back-to-back road games. They had that tough game against San Francisco at the end of the year. They're beat up. Whether that, on paper, that makes the Packers that much more of a favorite. But, of course, it's not played on paper, as they say.
Right. I mean, yeah, if it was, maybe New Orleans is in here. And you're right. I do think this was of the – I think the Saints would have been an okay matchup for Green Bay, to be honest. And that was borne out by the fact that the Vikings went in there and beat them at home. And I know, there are maybe some Packers fans who think the Eagles, how beat up they are. But my point would have been, hey, Carson Wentz likely would have played. And that's a team that would have used a backup quarterback who was retired 5 months ago to be hot and coming in. So I think Seattle...
Well, wouldn't they have won if Carson Wentz had stayed healthy?
Exactly.
I think so.
Yeah.
Josh McDown played about as good as you can for a backup quarterback, but he's not Carson Wentz.
And he wasn't Nick Foles, If they had a guy like Foles, we're talking about that team coming. So, yeah, I think the Packers, they have an advantage on the injury report. I'd argue they have an advantage on the front lines, offensive and defensive line. I think their secondary matches up well with, Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. Now, interestingly, Tom, I think where the Packers do not have an advantage is at quarterback.
Yeah. I was just thinking the same thing to myself. Like, let's get right to that, because that's where this game could rest.
Yeah. It's and Russell Wilson, look, he was my MVP, if you will, until later in the year. Obviously, Lamar Jackson has sort of cemented that. But Wilson has played at that level, I thought, and he's really carried this team. I mean, he did it last week in that playoff win. What, they have less than 20 yards rushing?
Yeah.
I don't, you and I and our colleague Olivia Reiner watched that game against San Francisco 2 weeks ago from the hotel in Detroit, and Marshawn Lynch had another short yardage touchdown. He can do that still.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Russell Wilson running around and making plays, and that's the biggest issue for Green Bay this week.
Shocking part to me was just what Fletcher Cox did to the middle of their offensive line. Fletcher Cox is a great player, and when he's at his best, he's probably the second best defensive tackle in the league behind Aaron Donald. But just the way he dominated, and some of the other guys dominated on their inside. And now, their center, their third string center, this is the third center I think they've had, is hurt, was out of practice yesterday. I'm pretty sure it sounds like he's going to play. But right tackle George Fant was hurt and had a groin injury and was out of practice yesterday. Mike Iapati is probably, he's coming off a stinger. It sounds like he might not play again. And then Dwayne Brown is iffy. He did not play in the last game. So, I mean, if this Packers defensive line can't make hay against this Seattle offensive line, then it wasn't meant to be. Then the Packers right. weren't meant to be in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, it's you know, we this story is up as you listen to this at jsonline.com, packersnews.com. How
very good story, by the way. I read it this morning.
Thank you.
Excellent story.
Yeah, and with the change Mike Pettine made, it started in San Francisco, but really took hold the final 5 weeks of moving Za'Darius Smith around, getting him his hand off the ground. And this sort of rover package, if you will, Jadeveon Clowney-like when Clowney was in Houston. And it's really allowed Mike Pettine to let that front, that defensive front, Smith, Kenny Clark, Dean Lowry, Preston Smith, just go. And by moving Za'Darius Smith around, it's created more one-on-one matchups for Clark especially. And it's caused a lot of problems. And I think, I guess my question to you, Tom, is, we know the Packers probably should be able to do that. My question is with Wilson, do they want to? Or do they want to create like a horseshoe type thing where you kind of keep them in pocket and play coverage?
So, first of all, Leroy Butler and I looked at that and compared what Fletcher Cox did to what Pettine is doing with Za'Darius Smith. I do want to promote yeah. the video, but it really, if you want to get an idea of what Za'Darius Smith is able to do and how it's similar to what Fletcher Cox did. So what putting Za'Darius Smith there, what causes the problem is that, one, he's strong enough to bull rush. So he can line up right over the nose tackle and he can knock that guy into next week. But he's also quick enough that he can take a shoulder and he can get upfield and beat a guy on the shoulder. So these guys have to, like you pointed out in your story, they have to kind of guess where he's coming from and how he's going to attack them and whether they can give help. It's a really nice setup. So I would say that, you know, it's going to be a key part. I think if they attack up the middle, they're fine.
Okay.
I think you just can't overrun him on the sides. I mean, Preston Smith and Fackrell and Rashawn Gary are going to have to be careful not to overrun, you know, get too wide, you know. Just let Kenny Clark and Za'Darius Smith flush him, and then they have to be ready to clean up.
Yeah, Wilson, for as talented and as good as he is, does tend to run 15 yards backwards in some of his escape plays.
Yes.
I mean, he's – so to your point, that may be part of that, where if you can collapse that interior of the line, which we've seen – I mean, as the players say, they chase the tape, right? Until you stop it, they will do it. So if they can get that pressure up front, I am curious to see, you know – and you got some disciplined edge guys perhaps. I mean, Preston Smith, Kyler Fackrell, you would think – can do that.
You know, I'll tell you a really great example of how that can get you in trouble. Of course, everyone wants to blame the officials on the Fail Mary pass. But if you watch that play, if Clay Matthews just plays contain, Russell Wilson never gets outside to make that throw. He got too far inside and let Russell Wilson get outside and throw that ball. It never happens if he plays contain and just does not let Russell Wilson get to the outside. And that's the kind of stuff you got to prevent him from doing.
Yeah, and I think that translates to now the back end of things, Tom. And you know, one of the reasons this has worked so well for the Packers of late is it has allowed, as an opposing coach mentioned, it allows Mike Pettine to not blitz as much and then play coverage. And that goes hand in hand with what he has said of late, which is simplifying things on the back end. You know, we haven't seen as many explosive chunk plays in the middle of the field. So, you know, if DK Metcalf is a physical mismatch, if Tyler Lockett is a little slippery guy, the more guys you have back there that are healthy, mm-hmm. and Russell Wilson is contained and has to make throws into coverage. I mean, it's not like the Packers haven't picked him off before.
No, no, they've done quite well against him in terms of, you know, passer rating. I think his career passer rating against them is 72.6. And he's thrown a lot of interceptions. And, you know, he gives his receivers a chance. He's not afraid. He's not Aaron Rodgers in the sense that if it's a little tight, he's not going to throw it. He will throw it. Throws a great deep ball. And the big thing that they have to do is you have to be so careful not to blow coverages. You have to be careful not to bite on ghosts and things like that, because you saw that with Philadelphia on the touchdown to Metcalf. It was totally a blown coverage. You know, they had a blitz on, and the corner and the safety were confused, and boom, he gets a step on you, and you're done. So they have to be really, really communicating well, and they have to probably not be too complicated, you know, keep it somewhat simple.
Right, and it's, I mean, if that's what they've been doing of late, that has worked for them. I mean, you haven't seen, now granted, I mean, McLaurin, I'm forgetting the kid's name in New York, the rookie who's played pretty well, but they haven't really seen, you know, Kenny Galladay, maybe might be the closest comp this Packers defense has seen to this guy.
Yeah,
and he had two catches.
He doesn't have the speed of...
Right, and he had the 42-yard completion, you know, before getting knocked out in Detroit.
And that was a blown coverage.
Yeah.
Savage bit on a receiver he shouldn't have. There should have been a guy back there. So that's the kind of thing you can't have. And in the playoffs, that stuff is magnified. It's like what Brian Bulaga was talking about in the locker room. He's like... Momentum shifts are so huge in playoff games. A play like that can just shift the whole momentum of a game. So
yeah, and it sets up. Now we are glossing over the return of Marshawn Lynch and Robert Turbin, but I think that's for a reason. They can't run the ball. I mean, there's a reason those guys were semi-retired. And
their fourth running back. Really.
Yeah, they don't have a run game. Not that the Packers can forget about it. You need to be disciplined and not let the old man go free. And I think that's part of that is to be sound and not let a team that where that's a weakness suddenly become a strength. And because they are a team, you mentioned the momentum, Tom. Marshawn Lynch still gives that to them. If you let him sort of break off an 8, a 9, or a 12-yarder, that's going to get them rolling, even if he gets nothing else after that.
Yeah.
You know, so to your point of that momentum – that's something, at least with the run game, they have to be aware of.
Yeah, and I wouldn't sleep on completely on was it Tony Homer?
Yeah, the undrafted kid. That's
yeah. I mean, regular season 6.3 average, 18 carries, 114 yards. They got to be careful there and not overlook him. Lynch, I think, is a. They'll continue to give him the ball, but I still think he's a part-time player.
Yeah.
And the way you keep him off the field is by stopping him, you know?
Yeah.
So that, you know, once he gets momentum, if he, like you said, like you just said, if he breaks off a 15, 20-yarder, all of a sudden they're, like, out of their mind because he's so popular and he's an inspiring player.
Yeah, and I will give him this. He remains a very real threat in short yardage. Honestly, I don't think the Packers – want to see fourth and one at the goal line like they did in Carolina in the snow. Because I'll be honest, Marshawn Lynch runs over Kyler Fackel and Preston Smith in that scenario.
Absolutely. he runs through Za'Darius Smith, if that were the case. You know, he'll run over anybody. And you saw it, and he could... When he lifted off in that 49... I think it was 49ers game, right? I was shocked. I'm like, he looks big and kind of slow, and then all of a sudden... He took off like a rocket on that.
Yeah, so that's, I think, the one area that Green Bay has to at least remain disciplined. Their run defense has been better. You know, we mentioned the change in the pass rush style, but along with that, Dean Lowry, Tyler Lancaster, Kenny Clark, Za'Darius Smith have been playing on the other side of the line of scrimmage in the run game the last 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Creating tackles for loss.
Yeah. I'm sorry, go right ahead.
No, so I mean, I think that's, you know, the Packers need to respect that, of course, but I do believe, as we've said, the focus is not incorrect to be on Russell Wilson, Metcalf, Lockett. I'm forgetting the kid's name who was stopped at the goal line against San Francisco.
Hollister.
I mean,
don't sleep on him.
Exactly.
Don't sleep on this wide receiver, Sua. This kid is really fast. I said his name is Tony Homer. It's Travis Homer. And don't sleep on him. You have to treat them like they're dangerous, but I would treat their offensive line like, you know, it's a piece of steak.
Yeah.
You know, go and get it and dominate.
And, well, you know, if they're going to dominate Sunday, it's only after Spoon dominates Thursdays at Pottawatomie. When you play Battle Win Ball, the game show, to win $5,000 in cash, you can earn entries by playing your favorite games using your club card. Learn more at paysbig.com/winball.
I'd like to supplement my income a little bit, you know.
Yeah, well, that's saying something because you got racks.
I'm not going to
make
got racks. Buying lottery tickets, that's
for sure. So, well, speaking of a lottery ticket, look at my segues. Chris Roth, our friend, is going to be so happy about this. You know, can Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers scratch off a winner starting this week? I mean, that has been the one, I can't even call it a bugaboo because they've won 13 games. They've scored, you know, a bunch of 20 points a bunch of times. They just don't score 30 or 40. A week off. Now, Aaron Rodgers said, Tom, in this break, look, the timing isn't going to get better. I mean, he basically said it is what it is at this point. It's really a matter, did they take the time in the bye week to find truly what works again in this last, you know, 6-7 weeks since the last bye? I don't know. I mean, we mentioned the quarterback disadvantage. It's one of the rare times, if ever. Have you said that? Has anyone said that about Aaron Rodgers in a playoff game?
Not really. So I had a thought on this. You know, I was reading Ryan Wood's story on the releases, Rodgers, how long he's holding on to the ball. And what really occurred to me while I'm reading it is, you know, there was some discussion in there. Rodgers discussed about how on scramble plays that he knew where these guys, Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, Randall Cobb, James Jones, Donald Driver, whatever. Those guys were great at the scramble drill. He could anticipate where they were going to be. These guys he doesn't have that with. Well, too bad. Throw it to where they are, you know. Expect that they can't maybe necessarily read the way that Jordy Nelson could read a play. If Robert Tonyan doesn't take it up the field quite the way you want it, well, throw it to where he's at then. You know, why does it have to be perfect? It doesn't. Do what you have to do to win the game. And that's what you have to do in the playoffs. So I want to see that. I want to see him do what he has to do to win a game, which is put the ball on a guy off. If it's off schedule, put it on him. You know, let him make a catch, and stop going for perfection. That's my impression of what's going on.
Yeah, and we've heard that at times. The head coach has talked about incorrect route adjustments or, you know, patterns. And you're right. Those are coaching points, and I'm sure those things are very true. But also in a one-on-one situation down the field, you're right, throw it to where he is. And I do believe Aaron Rodgers is still good enough to throw it where a guy is.
Absolutely.
Or
throw him open.
And so I'm curious to see if, you know, look, it's supposed to be very cold. Maybe there's precipitation.
Somewhat cold. Not too bad. 24 degrees?
Sure.
That's not cold. Come on.
Okay,
very cold is 0 degrees.
Yeah, that's true. So some precipitation. So maybe, you know, the elements do affect some of this in terms of what, you know, I don't think we're going to see the Detroit game plan, let's put it that way, where it's just continual deep shots and trying to take advantage of some corners.
They should be fired if they do.
So, you know, yeah, play action and some rhythm, timing, throws. I mean, you mentioned Ryan's piece on that. if the extended plays, there's enough data to show that that's not working.
Yeah.
So if the goal is to get to the Super Bowl, quote-unquote, win ugly, quote-unquote, know your role, that includes the quarterback, that would mean staying within the offense and, you know.
Can I go on one more rant
here? Yes, please do.
I'm really riled up. I must have had too much coffee this morning. But I am really tired of this narrative that he has nothing to work with. Rodgers has nothing to work with. Granted, he's playing with a guy who's in a slump, MVS. Alan Lazard is limited in what he can do. Solid guy, though. You know, he's got Geronimo Allison, who knows the ins and outs, but drops too many balls. And then he's got Devontae Adams. I'll bet you every day of the week Carson Wentz would trade for those receivers that he was playing with while they were going on, a four-game winning streak at the end of the year? And he's throwing to some guy named Greg Ward who was, I don't know, what was he doing, delivering groceries or something?
Yeah, I mean, quite literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. The very best quarterbacks make wide receivers better. Now, next year, they do need to address the wide receiver. But this is who you have, and let's stop crying, and let's stop. The narrative is making excuses, really, that they can't do anything because they don't have any wide receivers. Well, do what they've proved they can move the ball with those wide receivers.
Right.
Do it.
Right. You know? And, well, that is the interesting thing, is because while, you can maybe put up the measurables or the production, you know, with some of these other teams, and it doesn't fit, it doesn't match. However, it is 16 games, it is 13-3, and enough has been done.
Mm-hmm.
So, to your point, I think there's if they lose Sunday and they score 17 points, I mean, unless there's 9 drops that, you know, totally derail this thing, I don't think that'd be a reason why the offense stalls out. I think forcing issue like they did in Detroit, going away from Aaron Jones, maybe Aaron Jones gets hurt. Like those are the reasons why this should not work Sunday, in my opinion, Tom. I mean, I think the Packers should win. I think they should score 26, 27 points. And that would be the quarterback being accurate and throwing to the guys who are open. I'm curious to see if to your point of just win, if that to him means Devontae Adams gets 18 targets.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. That could be the case. I sort of wonder whether Seattle will do what they did to Philadelphia, which was to say, you're not going to run the ball on us. You're just not. We're going to play our three linebackers base and, you know, our base defense as much as possible. If they had Michael Kendricks, they would do that a lot, even in when the Packers put three receivers out. But they did that with their rookie linebacker and Cody Barton. And then they can bring, Bradley McDougal, their safety, down, and then Condre Diggs plays up, in the middle of the field like Earl Thomas did. That can stop the run. If they do that, then Rodgers has to be really efficient and make them pay for it. And, I mean, wouldn't that be interesting if they put it all on his shoulders and say, okay, Aaron Rodgers, beat us.
Well, I mentioned earlier on the defensive side of the ball, chasing the tape. I think if you're Pete Carroll and you're Ken Norton Jr., I would do that. I mean, Washington came out and said it. You know, pretty much the teams the last month, Tom, have done that, right?
Yeah. Giants did it. Washington did it to some degree. You know, on third downs, they put everybody back. They dropped 8 guys to take away Rodgers. But, the Bears wanted to stop the run. I could see them having enough confidence in their secondary to do that. Where they get in trouble, I think where the Packers could get in trouble, is that you need tight ends against that defense. Good tight ends kill that defense. And you could see Zach Ertz, you know, playing with, what, one kidney or, yeah. you know, I don't right, know what he was right. playing with. It was,
just
I,
a torso.
I can't running. Imagine that why he was on the field, but he was killing them.
Running so was Dallas Goedert, George corners. Kittle.
Yeah.
In that last game. Yeah.
yeah. And good tight ends
wow.
really helped beat that offense. So.
Yeah, well, I'm so, I, you know.
Breakout game, Jimmy Graham
yeah,
against I, Seattle.
It, you know.
Heard it right here.
Right? you know, it'll be interesting because Bobby Wagner is so good.
Yeah.
KJ Wright is really good.
Yeah.
I mean, Aaron Jones, we've said it all year, Tom. Aaron Jones is the engine of this offense. Jamal Williams looks like he'll be back healthy. So will fullback Danny Vitale. You know, I think that should be the game. I could see a very slow played, quick first half of the Packers trying to get that going. And, you know, their offensive line is looks to be healthy. Corey Linsley has come back to practice from the back injury in Detroit. Brian Bulaga has been cleared from concussion protocol. Billy Turner, that ankle's interesting. He's been a little slower coming back with that, but he is. Elton Jenkins is over the illness, so is David Bakhtiari. So, Tom, if there's I mean, you talking about health of this team. It's you wrote about it. It's been a very healthy Packers team. They did get dinged up in Detroit. They seem back from that. Maybe they can do the game plan you thought they should do in Detroit, which was just be physical, run it, establish the line of scrimmage.
Oh, no,
they didn't do that till late. Again, if you want to win the game, I think I don't know if Seattle has enough to come back. I think you just. You set that tone early behind that front five.
Yeah, I mean, Clowney's is a really good player, but he's hurting too,
yeah.
you know. I don't know if they have enough to be able to stand in and take down after down of just pounding on them. Maybe they do, but if I'm Matt LaFleur, I find out. Packers have this history In the games that they've lost, where they come out fast and they, you know, they know they've always known what Pete Carroll was going to run. You know, he's going to run that cover three defense, and you're going to run these plays that you've designed for it. And then all of a sudden, after that, his defense starts to catch up to you, and they adjust, and they're like, all of a sudden you can't move the ball on them, and then they come back. So it'll be. I want to see if they get off to a fast start, or if it's a gradual thing where they're getting better and better and better as they go along. I think that's a better way for them to that'll be a better sign for them if they're gradually getting better with each drive.
Yeah. Well, interestingly, I think Matt LaFleur would hope for that. I mean, in his bye week, they quote unquote practiced. I mean, on Thursday and Friday. He called it a bonus practice on Monday.
I think that was smart.
Yeah, because he remembers. I mean, he gave every time he's given this team off, it's bit him. Now, they did beat Detroit, but they lost in L.A. Obviously, we know what happened their last bye week in San Francisco. So, obviously, he's done a little bit different scheduling to try to keep his guys sharp. But I can still see a slower start, though.
Yes, and there'll be some rust on that.
Yeah, and no, what better way to knock that off than to run the ball? You know, before we get to the third phase, which has been important for the Packers and could mean something in this game, make sure that you head over to Pottawatomie Hotel Casino on Thursdays this month. Battle for $5,000 in cash in the Pottawatomie Battle Win Ball Game Show. Earn entries by playing with your club card all month. Learn more at paysbig.com/winball. It is January. You say it's not going to be cold, but, you know, for some of these guys it might be. And I don't know. The Saints kicker, you know, it's funny. All the next-gen stats, Seahawks kicker, the next-gen stats show his ball flight and where he does. Well, look, the Eagles, second straight year, they blocked a kick in a divisional round game.
Yeah.
That kid,
although that might have been more about blocking
Fletcher.
Than it was about the kick.
That
I don't
could
know.
Be.
I saw the block. Looked like Curry got through.
He
but
did.
I don't know for sure.
Well, but at the very least, that's also on film. The Packers
haven't.
You know, we've mentioned Sean Meninga's group being solid throughout the year, if not unspectacular. But Tyler Ervin has made a difference. And now Mason Crosby, I don't know.
How about the field?
Yeah.
What is the field going to be like? You might want to
fourth phase
check in on Sunday. It's going to be Saturday or Sunday. I'm not sure when it's running, but or you can get on JS Online. But, you know, the field has not been perfect. And how is that going to play? You know, what role will that play in the game? It'll be kind of interesting to see whether it affects either team.
It is something to watch for. The Packers, other than Jimmy Graham, have seemed to figure it out.
Yeah.
Whereas opponents, the last month, it goes back even before that, before the weather turned.
Oh, yeah.
Opponents are slipping and sliding all over the place.
Yeah. So I think that's something to talk about or to keep an eye on. Special teams, all you can think of is that NFC Championship game when they just were, every phase of special teams, they were destroyed. And you think about what they've done to this point, they're so much better. But Seattle, you know, they are good. And they're going to find a weakness and try to exploit it. So we'll see how that goes.
And Pete Carroll, you know, over the year, Tom, we've wondered at times whether it's Matt LaFleur with a different kind of, as they call it, a trick play, but Sean Menenga turns up the heat or tries something different, you know, whether it be a fake or a block or whatever. We haven't seen it. Seattle isn't afraid. I mean, Packers fans know all too well, right, that they will do anything and everything to win the game, and I would say that's the one area of the Packers 2019 mantra of win the game that we haven't seen. Maybe they felt they haven't had to do it. Maybe they've called some things, but the look didn't present itself and they checked out of it. So, you know.
They played it pretty safe.
Yeah.
And Menenga has said that. He's not hidden the fact that he'd rather play it safe as a first-year coordinator than give up all kinds of big plays. And he's establishing a culture of special teams, too, that they don't make big mistakes. He's done a good job doing that. Now we'll find out whether, you know, coaching matters, and we'll figure that out. We'll find out if there's a big advantage with Seattle staff versus Green Bay.
Yeah, this will be, you know, the coordinators have been there, done that. Matt LaFleur, obviously, on a staff that went to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Mike Pettine has been on staffs that went to AFC Championship games. Yeah. I believe Elvis Whitted has played in a title or a conference championship game.
Was he on a team that against New England that the Charles Woodson game?
I think so.
I'm not sure. I can't remember if that was he was in that era.
Yeah, Tyler Ervin has been on a team that's won a playoff game in Houston. So they're, you know, coaching and player wise, there is some experience. I don't think the game will be too big for a lot of those guys, but to your point, though, of head coaching, those are those decisions, right? And Matt LaFleur has not had to make the call. Do you go for it on 4th-and-1 at your own 45?
Yep.
Do you call for a fake punt at their own, at the 50 or whatever it may be? Or do you risk Tyler Lockett's back there, but you know what? The punt block feels right.
Yeah.
Those are the things
that... 4th-and-1 on the 1 yard line at Seattle, you know, do you kick the field goal or do you go for it? And you know, we all know what Mike McCarthy did.
Right. So this is the first time he's really been in that crucible. And we'll see.
Yeah.
This is the unknown part of this.
And I think we'd be remiss, speaking of Mike McCarthy, not to address his hiring in Dallas, which, good for him, you know. Name somebody who's coached the two most... you know, iconic franchises in the, or two of the most iconic franchises in the NFL. Not many. You know, so I think it's a good hire for them. I want to see him hire some, you know, I want him to go out of his comfort zone and hire some guys who are going to help him with his offense and add some of the college stuff that seems to be, you know, seeping into the NFL, because I think if he does that, he's such a solid coach otherwise. He's, you know, never gets flustered. I think that Dallas could be a good, really good team right away.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you're right. I think that's why they hired him, to be honest. You know, it clearly sort of points in the direction of a Dak Prescott deal getting done in some form or fashion. Mm-hmm. Maybe Packers
or
fans.
Or not, right?
Well, maybe.
What if he wants his own guy? I don't know. Wouldn't that be interesting?
That would be.
I think Jerry loves Dak Prescott too much for that to happen.
I think Packers fans were maybe interested. Their ears perked up when he said Ezekiel Elliott will get the ball. Although Eddie Lacy did have a couple thousand-yard seasons.
I think Joe Callahan's available. I think he just got cut from Detroit.
Hey, Taysom Hill's a restricted free agent, Tom.
Ooh.
Can
there
make
you
a
go.
Big, you know.
There you go. Yeah, no compensation for him. So.
No. But that's a whole other thing. Can you imagine if that Jared Cook and Taysom Hill rolled in here? Especially the way, I mean, in all reality, Taysom Hill would have had to win that
game
for the Saints.
They were trying. Those two guys were doing their best. I think I tweeted that they were doing their best to try to get to Lambeau Field. Those two did everything they could to give the Saints a victory.
Yeah. But, yeah, Mike McCarthy, it'll be interesting. The Cowboys not on the schedule by them not winning the NFC East. The Packers will miss them next year. They will instead see the Eagles again. So I think 2021, if they match up.
I'm saying, again, I've said this on Twitter, I said it on Facebook yesterday, have them play a preseason game here next summer and practice against the Cowboys at Ray Nitschke Field. You will make the city of Green Bay the happiest place on earth. They will sell out everything. It would be so much fun to see that.
Mike doesn't like joint practices,
no,
does he?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. But,
he's not the one.
He's not the one deciding.
Mike's not the one calling the shots on that one.
Jerry Jones can get some kind of advertising revenue out of it. He'll do it. You know,
yeah, right.
Mark Murphy will share some revenue. Anyway,
that would be something.
It would be fun just to see that.
It would be. Everybody would be waiting for the coach quarterback reunion.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
what
you
kind
know,
of bro
McCarthy
hug would
he start throwing blitzes at Rodgers during practice, you know, and knowing all his weaknesses. I just think it would be fun.
That would be something. Anyway. So, but yeah, we will, you know, as we wrap this weekly podcast up, make sure to subscribe to jsonline.com, packersnews.com, download the apps, make sure the push notifications are on so you can read all of this great content, get all of the information from Tom, myself, all the videos from Olivia Reiner, of course, the other news and information from Ryan Wood and Pete Doherty. Tom and I will be back with you late Sunday night, recapping
the live blog.
Don't forget about that. I don't think they ever.
It's going to be fun.
I don't think they ever forget about you.
Really fun on Sunday.
Yeah. So make sure to check that out, and we will be with you post game as always, and we will see what shakes after that. So thank you all for joining us, and we will talk to you then.